Ephesians chapter 4, I want to begin reading with verse number 22 through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of God. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In the passage we read a few moments ago from Galatians chapter 5, the apostle contrasts the works of the flesh with the works of the Spirit. As an introduction to this passage in Ephesians, because I think Galatians 5 is absolutely essential to the understanding of Ephesians chapter 4. I want to make a few comments concerning that passage in Galatians, so that I can then make a couple of points from the passage in Ephesians. The church at Galatia was being torn apart by biting and devouring. It was consuming itself. There's a contrast between Ephesians where all the parts are working together and they grow up together, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, where all the living parts contribute to the life of the whole. That was not true in Galatians. Every part was devouring other parts. They were not edifying, but they were destroying each other. And Paul tells the church at Galatians, the cure is to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. For if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the body, he said. And the flesh has its own work. And the work of the flesh is not the work of the Spirit, and it cannot be. It never will be. The works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's no end of the list. All such transgressions of the Ten Commandments are the works of the flesh. On the other hand, the Spirit has His own work, and it is contrasted with the work of the flesh. And the works of the Spirit are not the works of the flesh and cannot be. The flesh cannot produce the works of the Spirit, and the works of the Spirit cannot bring forth the works of the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. The work of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the flesh is not grown on the tree of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is not grown on the tree of the flesh. Or to put it another way, Adam cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. And Christ, the last Adam, cannot produce the fruit of the flesh. He which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He which is born of the flesh is flesh. The child of God has both these principles in him. For Galatians says the Spirit lusts, he desires against the flesh, and the flesh desires against the Spirit. They have contrary desires. You have conflicting desires in you. And they are contrary to each other, so there is conflict in the life of a Christian, in the soul, the very soul of a Christian. That's why Galatians, echoing the language of Ephesians, says, put off the former conversation with the old man. Put off the old way of life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Well, this is Ephesians. The old man is corrupt with deceitful lusts. His lusts are deceitful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man, which is Christ, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4. And there's two things I want to remind you of about this passage that is before us. The first one is this. I remind you that it is absolutely essential that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds, as I said last week. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is a most dramatic transformation that takes place in a man. For by the work of the Spirit of God, his whole attitude toward life, his whole attitude toward the church, his whole attitude toward himself and to God is changed. The spirit of his mind is changed. Not just the mind, but the spirit of the mind, which is not another entity, but is simply the bent or the direction of the mind. As I pointed out last week, sometimes the spirit is the same as the mind, and sometimes there's a contrast with the body. There are only two entities in a man, body and soul, or body and spirit. But sometimes there's a contrast made between the mind and the attitude of the mind. I mentioned that if you have a happy spirit, that means your soul is happy. If you have a critical spirit, that means your soul is critical. You use your mind to find fault with other people. I know you do too. You have to really struggle with it. You go into a church where you know, maybe it's an Armenian type church. You go there, you're with relatives and somebody. You go there and you sit there and you have to work really hard not to have a critical spirit. You know. You want to worship the Lord, but this stuff all keeps getting in your way. And you've got to put that away from you to focus on the Lord and on Christ. You can have a critical spirit. You can face all of life that way. There are various attitudes that can control the mind. Rebellious. Happy. Cheerful. Hopeful, depressed, gloomy, unbelieving, faithful, angry, forgiving, hard, implacable. Especially the soul can be dominated by a lying spirit, deceiving itself and deceiving others. Now the flesh directs the soul in the godless ways of darkness. The sins that are described in Galatians chapter 5 are first of all characteristics of a heart that is estranged from God. Adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, these all are manifestations of an inward condition. But a different spirit is sent to direct the souls of the godly. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. These are first of all attitudes of the soul, characteristics of the soul, spirits of the soul, you might say, or the work of the one Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the likeness of Christ. Paul says in Ephesians that we put off the old man. In Galatians he says, those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. We have recognized that the very things in us that are offensive to God and are offensive to the church and are offensive to the Spirit of God, those are the very things for which Christ died. We recognize that. And so the first principles of the Christian faith have been realized in us because we recognize, as our dear brother and sister confessed a minute ago, that in the flesh we are utterly without hope. And our sins are abominable before to the Lord. And so we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Now, if we connect it with Galatians chapter 5, this means that you and I have a war going on in our own souls. We're pulled this way, we're pulled that way by the sinful desires. We're like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, because of the desires that we learned from our first parent, Adam. And very often in the homes we grew up in, very often behavior was much more in focus than the spirit of the mind and the soul. But the spirit, and this is Paul's burden in Ephesians chapter 3 in particular. He says, I'm praying for the church that you might be strengthened with might in the inner man. That you be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man according to the riches of His glory. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. And he closes that prayer with saying, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceeding. Notice the multiplication of superlatives there, that He is able, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So that's the first thing I would like to lay before you. Paul recognizes that there is a warfare that goes on in the soul of the Christian. That warfare will continue until the day you die. In fact, in Galatians, in that passage we read, it jumped out at me when I was reading it a moment ago. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The Galatians who were being afflicted by those who were pushing circumcision, pushing the law, were promising them a perfection in this life by the keeping of the law. And Paul said, you're not going to get it that way. We through the Spirit wait. We are saved by faith, not in what we have realized or what we've received, but by what we are going to receive at the coming of Jesus Christ. God has perfection for you and for me, but not in this life. There's something in you that is perfect. That's the work of the Spirit. But there's something in you that is far from perfect. And that's the work of the flesh. And these two principles are in conflict. But there is a mighty power working in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. There is no question, if you are the elect of God, there is no question that the day will be realized when you are perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that's why the apostle says, we will receive the grace that comes to us at the appearing of Christ. There's more grace when He appears. What are we to do now? We have this conflict. What do we do? He says, you put off the old. If you didn't have the old, He wouldn't have told you to put it off. And He says, and don't grieve the Spirit. The word grieve there means to bring sorrow, to bring uneasiness, to bring offense. Don't offend the work of Christ in you. Don't offend or bring sorrow to the Spirit. Do not cause Him to be uneasy. Just as Christ wept over the city of Jerusalem, was often upset over the sins of men as He was on this earth, so the new man in you, which is the work of the Holy Spirit, is grieved when you walk in the flesh and live in the sins of the flesh. He is grieved by it. He doesn't go away. He doesn't leave. He's promised to be with you to the end of the world. He promised to chasten you and teach you until you be conformed to the image of Christ. He doesn't warn us about grieving the flesh. You can grieve the flesh all you want to. The works of the Spirit grieve the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, we're said to crucify them. What is our attitude toward the works of the flesh? They are to be counted as dead works, and we ought to grieve over them. What is our attitude toward the new man? Rejoicing and walking in tenderness and love and patience and hope, putting off the old and putting on the new. Thus we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, Paul says in Ephesians 1 or 4 at the beginning of that chapter, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Walk worthy of the vocation. If there was not a temptation, if there was not a struggle for the church sometimes not to walk worthy of our vocation or our calling, He wouldn't have commanded us to do it. As new men in Christ, we are one with another in the body of Christ, and we nourish and build up one another in the things of Christ. Therefore, it's very important that you and I, as Christian people, that the new man in you connect with the new man in me. Too often, my flesh connects with your flesh. I get angry, you get angry back. Many a sermon has been preached from pulpits that were in the flesh and manifested the works of the flesh. And they did not connect with the new man in Christ. We have fellowship in Christ in newness of life. We know no man after the flesh, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5. We've been given gifts according to the measure of Christ in order to serve one another. Each has his own place in the body. Every one of you has your place in the body, and you have gifts from Christ, spiritual gifts to enable you to serve the people of God. Walking in the flesh hinders that and grieves the Spirit and grieves the people of God. This we have learned from Christ. We have been taught of Him. We are not to walk as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. But we're to put off with his deeds the old man and live in that newness of life which is the work of the Spirit. The old man cannot be grieved. He is to be crucified with Christ and is crucified with Christ. But it is the mark of spiritual life that you sorrow over your sins. If you grieve over your sins, that is the mark of newness of life because that is the Spirit grieving in you. It is a very serious condition when men are nonchalant about their sins and think them to be of no account. That is a serious condition. Rather, there must be a grieving over sins. You will never grieve because of the work of the Spirit in your life. You will never grieve because you read your Bible. You'll never grieve that you showed kindness to your loved ones. You will never grieve because you witnessed for Christ. You'll never grieve because you give yourself in service to others. The old man doesn't grieve over those things. He's dead and stinks up the place. It is the Spirit of life in you that grieves over the works of the old man. And it is a certain evidence that you live in Christ. The old man is dead, the new man is alive and can grieve over the works of death. If you live in Christ, the apostle says, then you ought to walk in Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. And here in Ephesians, Paul is giving us not a laundry list of things, I must do this, 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 and this. He's giving us illustrations of what it means. There are no end to the illustrations. Just like there is no end to the works of the flesh, there's no end to the things we must put off. There's no end to the things we must put on. But he's giving us illustrations of what it means to put off the old and put on the new. First of all, he says in verse 25 of Ephesians 4, put off lying, putting away lying. That is, put off a lying spirit. Don't allow a lying spirit to occupy your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Face the truth yourself in the center of your soul. And then you can speak the truth, every man with his neighbor. It's interesting the reason that he gives here. We are members one of another. Don't lie. Lie should not circulate in the body of the church. That is an extremely serious matter. Because people act on the information they have. I read of a missionary years ago in the Philippines who worked in the leper colonies for many, 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 many years. And leprosy is not terribly contagious, but it is a little bit contagious. And one day, he spilled a cup of hot coffee. It fell on his open sandals on his foot. And to his horror, He did not feel the pain of the hot coffee. And he realized that he contracted the disease. And so it is. So it is in the body. When the nervous system is attacked, which is the communication system, when lies circulate in the body, the whole body gets out of joint and responds in wrong ways. And as James says, behold, what great a matter a little fire kindleth. One match in the right place can bring a whole city to ruin. And so it is in the fellowship of the saints. A few well-placed strategic lies can destroy the fellowship of the people of God. And therefore, put away a lying spirit. Speak truth, not to each other, but with each other. That's interesting. Let every man speak, every man truth with his neighbor. There's a conversation going on. Some of us are really good at speaking truth to people. We are members of each other. The spirit of your mind must not be a lying spirit. We must speak the truth in our hearts so we can speak the truth with each other. Psalm 15 says that the one who will abide in the tabernacle of the Lord is the one who speaks the truth in his heart. So the inner man has been strengthened with might to confront. It's hard to speak the truth in your heart. If you think it's easy, then you don't do it. It's hard to face the truth about yourself. It's hard to face the truth about your actions. It's hard to face the truth about God and His government in the world. These are difficult things. That's why Paul prayed, oh God, strengthen them with might in the inner man to speak the truth in their hearts. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I think those go together. Put away the angry spirit. I believe he's quoting from Psalms 4 here, for the words are parallel. Psalm 4 says, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Stand in awe. Here he says, be ye angry. Anger, ultimately, is directed toward God. If you don't like what happened, well then your anger is with God because He brought it to pass. We confess that, don't we? Yeah. We confess that God brings to pass everything that happens in our life, then we get angry when it happens. Well, who are we angry with? We're angry with God. So instead of being angry, we should stand in awe. We stand in awe. And sin not, he says. We are to tremble before the Lord and flee from sin. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Psalm 4 says, commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be still. Now, if you're like me, you go to bed, and just before you go to sleep, there's a tendency to go over all the things that made you angry that day, and the people. Things always get magnified at night. You know that. Things get magnified at night. Offenses get magnified. Good things get magnified. Me, my mind is such that I tend to think upon the offenses. And you never get complete victory. If you're like me, you never get complete victory over it. I think of things happened to me 20 years ago. And for my shame, I sometimes still put it away. He says, put it away and go to sleep. Be still on your bed. That is, don't allow wrath and anger to continue. If you can settle it, settle it. Settle it as soon as you can settle it. As soon as you have opportunity, settle it. But even if you can't settle it, you can still go to bed and put it away. And settle it tomorrow. We must not dwell upon our grudges, upon our wrongs. Dwell upon them. A man cannot keep the Sabbath of God if the spirit of anger rules his mind. That's why he says, be still, be at peace. Nor is he fit to offer the sacrifices to the Lord when he has wronged his brother. He says, go make peace with your brother and then come and offer your sacrifices. It is through anger and strife that we give place to the devil. For the devil's best work and his original work was murder and lies. He was a liar from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. And these are the devil's best works in your heart and in your life. Put away the lying spirit. Put away the angry spirit. Put away the lazy spirit. We much offend here. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that we have to give to him that needs. Put away the slothful spirit, the lazy spirit. That's why the Bible speaks so much about awake, rise up, get to work. Why do you stand here? Get going. Because he knows the inertia of our souls. We take the easy way. We take the way that does not require effort. Mentally, spiritually, there are those who are very active spiritually that are very slothful mentally. And some who are very active mentally are very slothful in their souls to do the work of the Spirit of God. You and I are supposed to serve one another. We are very clever in bringing forth excuses for our slothful attitude. That's why we're so often urged. I heard a preacher say one time, every time you see an angel, he's always telling you to get up and hurry. In the Bible, why do you stand here? Move, get going, rise up. Proverbs 26:16 says, a sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. It'll take a committee of seven men working full time to keep up with excuses that one lazy man will make. And he'll still beat him because he's wiser than they are. Henry Ford said he wanted something done well in the shop. He put the laziest man in charge of it. He'd find the easy way to do it. It's true. Wise men like Henry Ford always took advantage of every ability a man had, even if it was laziness. He'd find a way to turn it to advantage. So he says, get rid of the slothful spirit. Your spirit should not be, well, just enough for me. The thief is the one who's just concerned about his own needs. But the goal is to be able to contribute to others. To have service to the people of God. So put that spirit away. Put away a corrupt spirit. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Our words should be wholesome and edifying. Your speech should be always seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. This wholesomeness must begin in the inner man. And that's why Philippians tells us, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Put away the spirit of corruption so that nothing corrupt proceeds from your mouth but that which is good. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed unto redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and put on Christ. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, is the way Galatians puts it. May God bless you. I made the applications as I went along, and may God add His blessing to His preached word. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have so often grieved Your Spirit. We have so often gone against our best impulses, against the clear teachings of Your Word, against the love of our fellow Christian, whose spirit in them have been grieved also by our actions and our words and our deeds. Forgive us for these things, we pray, and cause us to love You with all our heart, soul, and mind. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.